What do they feed this guy? That's what I want to know. Good morning, friends. How we doing? All right. Well, we have a special day today, and I'll get into that in a little bit. We just have lots of things to be thankful for and to celebrate. If you are visiting with us, we are so glad you're here. We love to have visitors in this place. We love when those visitors feel so comfortable, they just keep coming back. Some of you have been visiting here for years and years now, and we're thankful for that too. So we are continuing our series in John's Gospel, The Hidden Music of John, and today finds us in a rather peculiar place. And I thought this is a fitting lesson for what we have going on in this church right now. So we will be in the second chapter of John. We're going to be the first part. And we're at a celebration with Jesus and his disciples. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. So don't miss that Jesus and his disciples, before they'd really even done anything, before they even really had a lot to celebrate, they are stopping and attending a wedding. And many of us think, you know, as we're working for the Lord, we have fire in our bones and we have zeal and we have things that we want to accomplish, and we burn the candle on both ends, and we work as hard as we can in order to be legitimate, in order to be important or useful to God. I think sometimes this is especially true of church staff, secretaries, elders, ministers, those who are truly committed or committed to a certain cause. We see in churches, a lot of times we have a lot of people that are not doing near enough. You just come, you consume, you get a nice thought, you go, you leave. And then we have others that are so invested and so committed and so busy doing stuff that we just sometimes don't know when to stop. We don't know when to step back and rest. And so it's interesting, this lesson for us today. Sometimes the most important thing any of us can be doing is stopping and celebrating. Stopping and celebrating. It's not easy for some of us to do. It's almost like we need permission from someone to do it, but we all need it. Some of us recognize that we need it sometimes. Some of us, you know, those of us who are passionate about the ministries that we're involved in, we're passionate because we know the joy and blessing that goes into committing yourself fully to something, feeling that zeal of God, the Holy Spirit working in a situation, putting something on your heart that is so important to you. And that sometimes our work with the church, it can feel a little discouraging, or, you know, there's so many things that God does to grow us in our patience. But I gotta say, you know, I've been around churches for a long time, and they always move slower about doing things than you think they ought to. And sometimes that can feel discouraging. Elders are slow. Sometimes committees, if you have a choice between an eldership and a committee, elders are almost always faster than the committee, just so you know. Sometimes that just doesn't happen very quickly. The ministers of churches, a lot of times they don't feel passionate about the same things we feel passionate about. Sometimes that feels problematic. A lot of times, okay, you got a preacher. The preacher doesn't preach on the topics that you think are most important that the church needs to hear. And so sometimes it feels like we're trying to push these things that God has put on our hearts, and we're pushing, and it's just like pushing water uphill. It doesn't seem to go anywhere, and people don't seem to take very seriously the command to make the most out of every opportunity because the days are evil. The time is short. Christians in this world are facing significant persecution. China, other places, the time is short. We have important work that we need to be doing. That's true. But when we feel the weight of these things that we're called to, let me also be bold enough to invite you to pay attention to the things that are going on inside of you. Pay attention to value judgments that we are tempted to make on another person's value. These people are the committed ones, these people are not committed. Pay attention to your desire to influence and control people and situations. Pay attention to restlessness and anxiety you feel in situations. Because sometimes this is the way that zeal works. It can blind us to other things, especially what is taking place in our own hearts. But don't lose heart. My message is keep doing the work the Spirit has given you to do. Do it with diligence and do it with excellence. The Lord will reward you for your patience. He's teaching you a lesson in that, and He will multiply the fruit of this ministry that you're involved in. And if the Spirit wills it, He will make your cause shine like the noonday sun. He will. And cultures that take the culture of a church, it's not a ship that turns quickly. You know, I feel this burden as a minister. There are things that I would love for us to do. I would love for the things that I'm passionate about to be your passion as well. But there are as many people in this room, there are that many different, unique individuals with unique ideas. And sometimes it takes a time and the work of the Holy Spirit to align our thoughts and our direction to go a certain way. But the lesson for us today is sometimes all of this, involved, super involved, not involved, wherever you are, sometimes events come that have to be marked and have to be celebrated. And when that happens, everything stops. Whether we want it to or not, everything comes crashing to a halt. So, do you think Jesus had important work to be doing? I mean, the Son of God, you assume, yeah, that's pretty important work to be doing. Save the human race, yeah, that's, you know, pretty important work to be doing. And do you think that Jesus accomplished a lot in his work? Yeah, of course he did. You see, Jesus' 3 years of ministry was more productive than people's entire lifetime. And there's reasons for that. There was a lot of hidden preparation that went on, but it was a relationship. And it was a relationship. But even Jesus, before he's even done anything significant in you know, his ministry, he's stopping to celebrate. Let's not miss that fact. You know, Jesus made time for celebration. He also made time for things like solitude and prayer. And if Jesus made time for things like this, how much more important do you think it is for you and I in our troubled condition? Because we all have sin in our lives. How much more do you think we need things like that? Things that build a relationship with God. Celebration just bubbles up thanksgiving in us. That's so important for us. So one amusing story, I think it's fairly amusing, from the Protestant Reformation. So there, you know, Martin Luther, he nails his thesis on the door. You know the guy, right? He doesn't get good press a lot of times in Churches of Christ, but we know he exists. He's out there somewhere. He was kind of an interesting character if you look at his life and the things that he did. And I found a quote that I thought was just wonderful. So I'll share that with you. He was he was being criticized by his colleagues for slowing down and taking time to rest and time to celebrate. And they were asking, saying to him, how can you stop and step back when there's so much important work to be done? And his reply simply was this: as I drink my glass of Wittenberg beer, the gospel runs its course. Isn't that a great quote? You see, there's something important about the rhythm of celebration and rest. And this is especially true in the world that we live in today, where we are in a fast-paced culture. When you step back from the daily grind, we are often given the gift of perspective. We see things differently when we're able to rest and when we're able to celebrate. We come to humbly realize that the world actually does not fall apart if I take 2 weeks off. The practice of rest and celebration is really an act of faith. And as we rest, we recognize that God is ultimately in control, and we are mere partners in the things that he has initiated. While I drink my glass of Wittenberg beer, the gospel runs its course. Luther wrote these words in the midst of an overwhelming, busy schedule of ministry, where he was teaching, pastoring, and overseeing an unprecedented reform movement. Yet in the midst of all of these things that he was involved in, he recognized it was okay, and not only that, it was good for him to step back and to rest and celebrate. Because Luther realized the success of the kingdom of God rests securely in the hands of God. That's the way it works. When the Spirit takes from our smallness, he multiplies that. And it's not all about us. It's not about any of us. It's all about God, what he's doing on our behalf. So if the God of the universe, when he created things, takes time to rest, you think it's okay for us too sometimes as well? And that's what celebration is for us. It's an active kind of rest. It's a communal event that is associated with food and eating and drinking, a time when the normal rhythms of work and activity are interrupted and special occasions are marked. Baptism's that way for us. A wedding is that way for us, to celebrate a Christian marriage. All of those things are times where we step back, occasions where we mark something significant going on. So this is one of those times. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you..." Well, I don't know if he had that tone or not. "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My time has not yet come." And then what do you think the look was on Mary's face? What was she feeling at this point? My time is... Here he goes again. This esoteric talk from this boy I've raised. Lord help me. I don't know what her attitude was, but she just kind of just bulldozes right on past what Jesus has said and goes straight to the servants then and just says, do whatever he tells you to do. You know, you don't miss that, you know, that there's... And I wonder how long that pause was between, because I can just imagine her saying that and then just leaving, you know, and how long that pause was with all the servants just kind of looking at Jesus and Jesus kind of being like, okay, here's this situation that I have to deal with. How am I going to react to that? Well, Jesus always does the right thing, doesn't he? So in the hidden music of John's gospel, don't miss Jesus' humility that is displayed in this text. He was a grown man, and still he does what mommy tells him to do. He obviously had other ideas for what his first sign would be that would reveal who he was, because he says, "My time has not yet come." But Mary completely ignores him. And so Jesus is left there with the eyes of the servants fixed on him. Jesus, the creator and sustainer of the universe. We've already been introduced to the Word of God in chapter 1 of John. It says all things were created by him and through him, and he sustains everything. But at his mother's request, he changes his plans. He changes them. And this is the humility of God, to allow his ideas and plans to be affected and changed based on human desires. Why would God do that? It's because of love, the way love works. Love is always mutual. Love is always sharing. Jesus honors his mother. He listens to her. And then he does it in such a way that glorifies God and reveals who he is. Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." And they did so. Servants, they just did what they were told. They obeyed. But notice the abundance of God that is displayed in this miracle. 20 to 30 gallons each jar, and there's 60 of them. That is a whole lot of water getting turned into a whole lot of wine. That's quite a bit bigger than our baptistry is. I mean, that is a significant amount that is being changed here. During celebration, special events are marked, and it's important to mark special moments. And let me just say, as Christians, do we have a lot to be thankful for? We should be the best celebrators there are. We have the most out of anyone to be thankful about. Like that song says, how does it go? Celebrate good times, come on. You know, that's a theme for us. We have a lot of good times that we need to be marking and celebrating as believers in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as those who recognize and see all the abundance of God's blessing to us. Well, what is the purpose of celebration? Why is celebration important for us, important for me, important for you? I think celebration is an important thing because it allows us a time and space for gratitude and thanksgiving to bubble up from within our hearts. We are refreshed, we're rested, we're rejuvenated, and we recognize and thank God for all of his goodness to us. It's a time of stepping back, a time of appreciating. God knows how important these times are for us. Listen to these words from Deuteronomy. "Be sure to set aside a tenth of all that your fields produce each year. Eat the tithe of your grain, new wine and oil, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks in the presence of the Lord your God, at the place that he will choose as a dwelling for his name, so that you may learn to revere the Lord your God always." Do you get what's going on here? There's provision made for Levites and sharing the tithe as well, but originally what it's talking about in Deuteronomy is you set aside this tithe to the Lord, and then the Lord gives it back to you and says, "Here, celebrate this. Honor my name when you do it." And the verse goes on to say, "But if the place is too distant and you have been blessed by the Lord your God and cannot carry your tithe because the place where the Lord will choose to put his name is too far away, then exchange your tithe for silver and take the silver with you and go to the place the Lord your God will choose. Use the silver to buy whatever you like. Buy whatever you want. Cattle, sheep, wine, or other strong drink, or anything you wish. Then you and your household shall eat there in the presence of the Lord your God and rejoice. What is the desire of your heart? God says, if this make this meal special, make it important, mark this special occasion. Go to the house of the Lord and celebrate and enjoy. Isn't that the goodness of God towards us? Oh, what a lesson for us to learn there. And notice those last few words. Then you and your household shall eat there in the presence of the Lord your God and rejoice. So that's a little helpful thing for us. When you're celebrating, when you have something important to celebrate, make sure you honor God with that in some way. Tie that celebration to thanksgiving to the Lord. A recognition of God's goodness. It's all God's goodness that any of us has anything to celebrate at all in this life anyway, is it not? Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. Our God is a generous God. When we celebrate, remember Him. Tie that celebration to the Lord. Celebration is about recognizing and rejoicing in God's generosity to us. And the thanksgiving we speak should be directed toward God. Listen to these words now from Psalm 104 about the generosity of our God. He makes springs pour water into the ravines. It flows between the mountains. They give water to all the beasts of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. The birds and of the air nest by their waters. They sing among the branches. He waters the mountains from his upper chambers. What a great image. And the earth is satisfied by the fruit of his work. He makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for man to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth, wine that gladdens the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread that sustains his heart. God is so generous to us. It's important for us to mark those occasions and recognize God's generosity to us. God not only knows that we need times of rest and celebration, but He is the generous giver of everything we have to be thankful for. Well, let's move back to John chapter 2. You know, it's kind of an odd verse. All of John chapter 2, we don't know quite what to do with it. We don't know what to think, and we're a little bit uncomfortable with the Son of God providing alcoholic beverages to keep a party going. That's a little bit uncomfortable for us sometimes as Christians. And others were like, I'm not uncomfortable with that. Thank you, Lord, it's about time. But then in the next part of chapter 2, we have this other odd occasion, and we'll talk about that next week, where we don't know what to do with a Jesus who seems to be losing it, turning over the money changers, the tables of the money, making a whip and driving out people and cattle and the animals from the temple. So we get these pictures of Jesus. We're not quite sure, entirely sure, what to do with them. Well, we all recognize culturally drinking wine didn't have the same meaning or biases that it does in our own day and time. Usually for regular meals, wine would be mixed with water for day-to-day use, and they would only drink it undiluted and pure for special occasions, special celebrations. And the scripture also recognizes that there are special dangers associated with what we consume. Drugs or alcohol, things like that. Paul tells us, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to reckless indiscretion. The things that cause us to make poor judgments and choices. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And some of us haven't realized that being filled with the Spirit it's actually more enjoyable than those other things. We haven't progressed in our Christian life to the point that we've experienced the Holy Spirit in that way, as someone who gives us better pleasure than anything that the world can offer. And it's so good. It's worth it. But it takes a lot of time and discipline. God is good, though. He'll get us there. Because being filled with the Holy Spirit, it's better than all of these things. And that is the way we celebrate ultimately. And yet, our text this morning, it has the Son of God revealing himself by turning a whole lot of water into a whole lot of wine. And I think this says something about how important celebration is for humans. It's something that God recognizes as being important for us. And when certain events come, everyone needs to stop for the celebration. And sometimes, let me say, these celebration times, they come at inconvenient times, don't they? Sometimes these events come while we're facing all kinds of difficulty in our life, our marriage, our family situation. Sometimes our hearts are so heavy with the cares and concerns that we're facing on a day-to-day basis, our own brokenness in our families. How can I celebrate when I feel this way? You see, celebration, though, it's bigger than the individual. It's bigger than me and my needs and my problems. And when we do come with our heavy hearts and we slowly let down our burdens for a time, then we come to realize in the rhythm of a community celebrating, we realize, wow, I needed that. I needed that time of refreshing, that time of handing over of burdens, the time of putting things on hold to mark something more important. The master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into the wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." In the hidden music of John's gospel, we have already noted the quantity of what the Lord produces. And now John invites us to notice the quality of what he produces. What the Lord brings, indeed, it is the very best. And I think this is a hidden truth that's being revealed to us. We do our very best. We put our very best out there in our work, in our relationships, in our celebration. But if it's just a human endeavor done in our own thinking, in our own strength, it will diminish over time. Our stores will run out. We'll run out of wine. The quality of what remains will be a lower tier. And we hope that people won't notice that we're just scooting by, hanging on by our fingernails. But when God gets involved, and when God blesses it, it changes the entire situation. The best is yet to come. When we give our very best for our Lord and God, he comes in behind us and he takes from our smallness and he makes it even better. Even better. You see, every person in this room is trying their very best to figure this life out. We're all trying to figure it out. And we're trying to do our very best for ourselves and our families, the people that we love. But then we have these moments, if we will allow, that we discover the beauty and wonder of Jesus Christ. And when you see Jesus as he really is, how wonderful our Savior is, how beautiful he is, the words that he speaks, the compassion that he shows, the lessons that he teaches us. When you see Jesus Christ revealed, you say, like the master of the banquet, "God, you have saved the very best till now. you have saved the best till now. This is the first of his miraculous signs Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory. And his disciples put their faith in him. They put their faith in him. How wonderful it is to have this very first of Jesus' miraculous signs associated with celebration. Is it not? And what good news it is for us of the willingness of the Son of God to change his own plans in order to accommodate someone else who he loves. You see, the power of God is displayed in this miracle. And it was a miracle that allowed this wedding festival to continue to take place. And it was a miracle that revealed the generosity of God to help his beloved children celebrate. So I'm going to show you, I think we get to know each other a little better now. I'm going to show you a little clip of Christmas at the Gruen family household several years back, where we had a wonderful time of celebration and giving of gifts. And so just humor me and watch this, and I just want to make some small point from this. This is the introduction of our little dog, Chai, to our children, who I kept the dog hidden, and she was at a friend's who's a vet, and then I snuck her in Christmas Eve, and our family tradition, they get to open one gift on Christmas Eve, and I said, Dad gets to pick the gift this year, and so Christmas Eve, we snuck Chai into the house when they were doing other things, they were out, and then when they all came back and they sat down, I revealed Chai, and this is what happened.
For your introduction, Chai.
No way! Goodness, come here! Oh,
girls, meet Chai. She's happy to meet you guys. Welcome to the Gruen family, Chai. As a father, how do you think I felt in that moment? And if me, though I am evil, know how to give good gifts to my children, how much more your Father in heaven? You see, God is not curmudgeonly toward us. God is not a cosmic killjoy. He's the most joyous being in the universe. And his generosity towards us flows out of his great love. God knows the needs of your heart. And he will provide you with what you need so that joy and thanksgiving can bubble up from within you and that you can express your gratitude to the Lord. Well, we have a lot to celebrate this morning. We have new families that are stepping up to serve this church. You'll hear more about that in a moment. And you've maybe noticed we have new chairs in the back. Next week we'll write prayers and put those prayers on them, just those little blessings we're going to tape to the bottom of those chairs to recognize, Lord, you've been good to us, and we're making room for your continued blessing in faith. And we have so much to be thankful for. And if you have a special need, you have an opportunity to come forward and share those needs with the church, either to put him on and make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior through baptism, share prayer needs or requests. You can do any of that while we go ahead and stand and sing together.